Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. With us a little different message this morning, and one that I've used before in one sense, or I should say the same set of passages, really about deacons and their beginning and what God desires from those that are in deacon positions. And so hopefully this morning you recognize the importance of a deacon, what that really means, and how he can be used to solidify and help the church in a great way. And so take some time and recognize it's an important step in our church as we continue to grow. We need to add more guys. And so hopefully maybe you too, if God's called you to be that deacon to serve in that same capacity. So let me read to you out of the book of Acts, chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says this: "And in those days, when the number of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, to whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, I pray that you do a mighty work today in our lives. Help us to recognize that we're all called to be servants in some way. Help us, Lord, to be a surrendered people to your call, that we may simply obey you. Thank you, Lord, for the body of believers and for those that serve, and I pray that you use them mightly. Lord, I pray in the next few minutes that you would help us to see the importance of deacons, and as we ordain George this morning, that you would be a great blessing to him, and he would be a great blessing to this body of believers as well. Thank you, Lord, for your word and that promise that when your word goes forth, it will not come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me just remind you that a deacon is a very important thing. We need to understand that God wants us to be faithful when we call men to serve in this capacity. And when you look at that early church, things were going really well. Matter of fact, they were adding to their number greatly day by day by day, it seems like. Matter of fact, I would just like to kind of jump on into the sermon and recognize that God wants us to pick holy men, men full of the Spirit, men that will serve, men that will do good, to grow this body of believers as the Lord commands. And so notice the first thing. There's the reason for the deacons. The reason for the deacons. Notice again in verse 1, it says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied." The church was going by leaps and bounds, and we recognize thousands were getting saved. Matter of fact, when you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers." Then you jump to Acts, chapter 4, verse 4, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And so you have an explosion in that early body of believers, multitudes and multitudes of people coming to faith. And that is a great thing. Kind of like today, we recognize multitudes of people are coming to church all across this land, especially here at Sardis. I'm thankful for those that are attending. But just like adding people, it's kind of like adding family members. The more people that you have, sometimes the more problems that are increased. It's kind of like children. The more children you have, the more dirty diapers you have, amen? Sometimes you got to take the good with the bad. And so what happens, because the church was rapidly growing, they had growing pains, and so the problem was not everyone was getting ministered to. A group of men were brought in to provide a solution to these problems, and we'll call these guys deacons. Even though they're not called deacons in chapter 6 of Acts, we find later on that's probably the idea that where they came from in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 and following. And so we recognize the importance of these guys. And so what were the deacons used for? Well, notice this. Deacons are to solidify or unite the church. Deacons are to solidify or unite the church. Again, verse 1, "In those days when the numbering of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And so what you have in that early church, that because people were being joined, or because people were coming, and so many multitudes came, and so many people, because they came to faith in Christ, lost their jobs, they lost their families. And so the church decided to provide for those who were widows, that were widows indeed. They had no one to care for them. And so the church began to feed them and help them in all kinds of ways. Well, so happens that some of these widows were left out. And so there was a great problem that was going to take place in the church. The church had already experienced some problems, and persecution in chapter 4. There was some corruption in chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. But now there's some dissension inside the body of believers. And that's where the battle really will tear things up. And so they had to take care of this problem. The church had committed to helping these widows, but some were left out. And so the deacons will come along and help build a solution to the problem, not to be a problem in itself. And so many times, I just want you to understand that when deacons come on, we want them to be solutions, not problems. And that's why it's important to choose good men, men that will serve the Lord, that will love the Lord, that will do those things in an unselfish manner that will move the church in the right way. Too many times, again, I've seen people say, it's my way or the highway. That is not good. So how can these young men, or sometimes old men, serve the church and be a solution? I think the Bible speaks about love. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And so I'm telling you, just to look at this idea as it should begin in your hearts of loving people. Let it follow with your hands to help people. Let it be forwarded by your mouth to speak good things, not bad. And so deacons are used to solidify the church. But secondly, deacons are used to serve the church, to serve the church. Verse 2 says, and then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it's not reason we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. That word serve is dakios in the Greek there, and it means to really to stir the dust, to really get down and work. And so we get diakonos later on from that same word. And so he said, we'll put you over this business, this thing that is needful or necessary. And so the business of the deacon is to serve the body of Christ. The business of the deacon is to serve the church. And so we recognize it's not originally a position of authority, but because this service takes place, something happens. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And so it is a natural thing for a deacon to rise to a notable position in the church, and that's how it should be. When you truly serve as you should, God uses you in a special way. Be a servant by serving the Lord. And I'm telling you today, if you sign to be a deacon, we're going to use you in great ways. It may not be all lights and glamour, but you'll be behind the scenes serving. You'll be doing some different things. I just named a few here. Communion preparation and serving, counting offerings, family ministry plans, work days, monthly meetings to help, and you'll be ushering. You'll be on the shepherd teams. There's a lot of things that we don't really recognize that deacons do, but man, they are busy if you're a deacon here in Sardis Baptist Church. And so they're used to serve. Thirdly, deacons are to support those that are preaching the word. So they solidify, they serve, but they support those preaching the word. And let me tell you what I mean by that. In verse 2, it says again, in the middle of the verse says, it is not reason we should leave the word of God and serve tables. The apostles were had all the responsibilities of ministry and preaching, and they needed some things to take place they could not keep doing. And so to preach effectively, they needed two things. They needed time to study and time to pray. Because it says in verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They needed time to pray and time to study the words that were given to them so they could preach the word with boldness and clarity. I like the word continually. It's a proskeneteo. It means to be fully devoted to. So they wanted to devote themselves to this idea of prayer. But also, notice that word, the ministry of the word. It is the same word he uses earlier about serving tables. It's diakonos. And so the deacons would physically serve tables, and now these apostles would spiritually serve the people the bread of life. And so the two would be hand in hand. and be used together. I wonder if their sermons had gotten a little dry. I wonder if they felt unprepared to preach at times. I wonder if they were stressed on the Lord's Day when they stood among the people to share the good news. Let me remind you, as a preacher, Judgment Day comes every Sunday for the preacher. He must be prepared. And so who or what are these guys? They would be servers of the table that would grow and serve in any area needed. In other words, they started out in one area, but now God is going to use them in greater and greater areas. And that should be the goal for all of us, to be a person with a deacon heart or a servant heart, willing to serve wherever we can. And so let me ask you before I move on, are we serving as we should today? Are you serving in the capacity that God has called you to serve in? Those first deacons did, and it made a tremendous difference in the life of the church. And I'm telling you, if we will do the same, if we will serve how God's called us, it will make a great difference in our church today as well. Well, there's the reason for the deacon, but secondly, there's the requirements for selecting deacons. The requirements for selecting deacons. And I know we've already gone through these many times in the past, but I think it's good just to look over how they saw this in this book of Acts. So he says in verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." When it came to requirements, it was going to be a two-part process. They would say, you look out and look among you and find those people that meet these requirements, and we will appoint them to this business. And so they were a team or a partnership. They needed to look out and see what these people were made of. They need to be people that lived out their faith. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Lay hands suddenly on no man." In other words, before you ordain somebody, you should set them aside. You should look at their life. You should inspect them and recognize where they are spiritually. And notice what happens. That's exactly what they're going to do as far as picking some people out. Verse 5 says, "And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose," and then it goes on to name Stephen and a bunch more. And then we'll find at the end of that verse, "whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, laid their hands on them." And so it's a shame today in many churches, deacons are selected by different ways. And again, this is nothing new. You've heard this before. Sometimes we want regular church attenders, and that's good. If you're going to be a deacon, you should regularly attend the body of believers. Sometimes we pick the most popular people, or sometimes the biggest family. Sometimes, you've heard me say this again, the best looking, we're safe with George, amen. Good old boys, sometimes we'll pick the good old guys, or potential. If we'll make Deacon Bob, if we'll make him a deacon, man, he'll quit doing these things and start doing these things. Don't pick on potential. Pick on what you have seen already. And so that's why we put men aside for the year to look at their life under a microscope. We ask them questions. We have about a 10 or 15 page questionnaire. It has 50 some odd questions on them that speak about their life, their goals, their salvation experience, their doctrines. It is a tremendous ordeal to go through. It is a hard thing. But in the end, we recognize the importance of getting guys that truly love the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 through 13, lists a lot of qualifications that you need to look at when we select some more deacons. But here are three basic qualifications based on this passage in Acts. Deacons must be faithful. Again, verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves seven men of honest report." They must have an honest report. It is martyreo meneos in the Greek there, and that's just a big long word. But really look at the first part. It is martyreo. It's the same word we get martyr, or the same word we get witness from. These guys must have a faithful witness. A faithful witness. Faithful to the family. If you're going to fail somewhere, don't fail at your home, deacons. Don't let your families go by the wayside. They must be faithful to the family of God. Again, don't pick men that you think will be faithful but are faithful. And George has demonstrated that. We need men that will be an example to the body of believers. They should be faithful attenders. Faithful to finances. There's a lot of money that comes through here. And church is big business these days. And recognize that. That's not a slam. But I'm just telling you, this is how it is. It takes money to do ministry. And y'all give tremendous amounts of money. So we need faithful men when it comes to finances. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 says, likewise must the deacon be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre or filthy money. And so we need them to be faithful in the eyes of the church, all these matters. But also faithful in the eyes of foes and to the unfamiliar. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. And so we understand that not only should the deacon look good in the body of believers, but look good on the outside of the church. He should stand apart and be a faithful member. I'm telling you, if you're a drunkard or a brawler or a womanizer, you need not to apply here at this body of believers. We need men that will stand firm and fast on the word of God. And you may be thinking today, well, I would never meet all those requirements. I can't do all these things. I can't be faithful as I should. I'm reminded what the Bible says. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We need guys that will simply allow the Spirit of God to transform their lives and be used by him. So deacons must be faithful, but also deacons are to be full of the Holy Spirit. Deacons are to be full of the Holy Spirit. Again, verse 3, in the middle of verse says, be full of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit-filled man is one that is controlled by the Spirit. And that starts with this idea of being surrendered. At some point in your life, you've got to say, Lord, not my will, but yours. There must be a time when you have surrendered your life. In other words, you need to be saved. If you've never been saved, you cannot be a deacon. You need to be saved, man of God. You say, have you ever seen a deacon that was not saved? I believe I have. I believe I've seen preachers that were not saved either. I believe I've seen church members that were not saved. We all need to be surrendered to the Spirit of God and then have a steady reliance on that Spirit day by day, living these things for the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need people, not just deacons, but church members, born-again believers, to live by the Spirit of God, to be full of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, deacons must also have foresight. Deacons must have foresight. He says, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That word Sophia is the Greek there. It means to have this idea of understanding. Why wisdom? Because it takes wisdom to serve in the body of Christ as a leader. It takes wisdom when it comes to dealing with church family problems. It takes wisdom when it comes to handling church money and its dispersion. It takes wisdom on holding confidential matters, not to be double-tongued. It takes wisdom when it comes to confronting people on their behavior problems. It takes wisdom when it comes to interpreting God's word correctly. It takes wisdom, and wisdom comes from the Lord. We need men full of the Holy Ghost and have great wisdom to live a life. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. We need good men to serve. Well, let me keep moving on because we want to take some time to ordain George. Not just the reasons for deacons and rules for selecting deacons, but now the results of the deacons in verse 7. So what happens when these guys are used in ministry? First, there's the proclamation of the word increased. The proclamation of the word increased. Notice verse 7. And the word of God increased. And the word of God increased. I'm telling you, the greatest thing that can happen in the life of the church is for the word of God to go forward. You know, the idea about the word of God is a transforming power. God uses the Holy Spirit to bring the word of God to us from the Bible. And that word does something to us. Word becomes this thing that moves us in the right direction. And so we need to understand what the word does. And when deacons do what they're supposed to do, the word of God increases. Matter of fact, if you read again verse 2, he says, it is not reason we should leave the word of God and serve tables. By those first deacons, the apostles got more time and spending in the word. They had more time to pray. How good that is. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All through the Bible, we find hints how the word transforms lives. And because the word increased, notice the second thing, the population of the saved increased. The population of the saved increased. Verse 7 again, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Let me read that again. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Now, that's saying a lot, because you look at chapter 2, 3,000, chapter 4, 5,000, and now it says increased greatly. And so a multitude and multitudes of people are coming to faith. Why? Because people are doing what God called them to do. Thousands were saved because men fulfilled their duty as deacons. Let me remind you, that's what we're here for. Not to lift ourselves up, but to lift the word up. And when we do that, God used the Holy Spirit to convict people and guide people and lead people to where they should be at. How good it is when people get saved because the word is shared. Well, notice it doesn't end there. Notice the praise of the deacon increased. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "For they that have used the office of the deacon well, purchased in themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Few people are respected more than godly men called deacons in the body of believers. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's true that preachers come and go, but deacons are that rock that settles the church. They can be counted on. They can be trusted. They can be used. And that's why it's important to ordain godly people that will truly love the Lord and live for Him. We need to recognize how important it is because of how God uses us together as a body to present the gospel, to build the church, to make disciples. And so maybe you're here today and never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me just tell you, you're here today because godly men gave me time to preach the Word of God. And the gospel speaks about how we can trust in Him, that Christ came and died for our sins, and that He rose again, and that all that call upon Him can be saved. I wonder today, if you're here, would you simply come to a point and recognize that God wants you to follow Him? Hopefully so. You've heard the word this morning. The Bible speaks about that these men have done well. They've earned a good reputation. Matter of fact, if you read verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." One of those selected, God used mightily, and the rest too. So let me end with this before we do our ordination. Someone wrote the song in the 1930s. It says, "The church of God, one body is, one spirit dwells within, and all her members are redeemed and triumph over sin. Divinely built, divinely ruled, to God she doth submit. His will her love, his truth her guide, her path is glory lit. God set her members each in place according to his will, apostles, prophets, teachers, all, his purpose to fulfill. Salvation is her holy walls, the cross her sign of power. Her captain is the mighty God who guards her every hour. Stand in thy beauty, church of God, with righteousness arrayed. Put on thy strength and face thy foes with courage undismayed." And so, my friends, when we do our part, when we do what God's called us, the church will move forward. I'm thankful that godly men are willing to surrender, that they are willing to simply do as God's called them to serve in this position as deacon. And we ought to be mindful and thankful of that. And as we look at that, recognize we too ourselves are called to some position of service and that we should serve as well. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. I want you to think about your life. Not really a gospel presentation this morning from the Word, more about deacons. But the whole reason that deacons were selected is so the gospel could go out clear. And so maybe you're here today and say, "This is the day that God's convicted me of my sins, my iniquities, my shortcomings. I need the Lord." Why not let this be the day of salvation and let the church of God be multiplied today? Why not, as we sing this invitation song, you just come forward and say, "Brother Paul, I have asked Christ to save me, now what?" Maybe you're here and you've been saved and never been baptized. Why not come today and say, "Brother Paul, I need to be baptized. The Lord's convicting me." Maybe it's church membership and God wants to use you in this body of believers. If God's calling you today to join, why not come today? Simply walk that aisle and say, "Brother Paul, I'm coming here." If you've been baptized, we'll take you like that. Or if you need to be baptized, we will. Maybe it's by a church letter. Point is this: if God wants you to join, if God's calling you to move forward, why not today? Maybe it's pray this morning at this altar. Why not simply follow how God is calling you to act and do? If God's calling, you move on that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for godly men and godly women that serve in so many ways. Lord, I pray for the invitation time right now, Lord, is there's anyone here that needs to make a change in life, that needs to come to you by faith, that this would be the day. Whether it's for salvation or service or prayer. Father, you know our hearts and our desires. Move us to a point where we can truly know you. Thank you for all these things. Bless the invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.